Amen.
Okay, tonight's teaching is going to be looking at another perspective that I've never seen before. So, scriptures would suggest something, and I'm going to try to say it. Scriptures are suggesting something instead of just saying it outright. What does Yahweh not know?
Nothing.
I mean, mathematical problems, all kinds of different things. The scriptures suggest that Yahweh does not know your heart. And we're going to look at it. Because David was a man after Yahweh's own heart, and I always read that, and I imagine like an x-ray vision. But as we look at the scriptures, that's not what it looks like. And what we're going to look at is through the scriptures, it's going to say, actually, Yahweh has to test you to find out what your heart is. It's over and over and over. So what is your heart? He tests you. And it proves it. There's a Hebrew word that we'll look at. And it doesn't mean everything that happens to you is his test. If you sow wickedness, you will reap wickedness. Right? But if you're going to reap wickedness, is that a test? Yeah, it's that you can fall down to your knees and go, I surrender! I need some favor! And you guess who's, have people done that before? Yeah, there's a guy named, not Ahab, but I think his name was Jehoshaphat. I'm sorry, help! And that was a test. In your life, not everything you go through is Yahweh's test. But nearly everything you're going through is a test where you could pass for Yahweh. How are you going to handle it? You want to know what's inside you? Drop something on your foot. Mm-hmm. A word might come out you didn't even know was in your vocabulary. What the heck was that? That's a test. You just proved something. There was something inside there. And one of the best examples, I'll give a little example, I tried to do a little media on a test, is there's this, I'm not a dog person, I enjoy dogs, I'm a taxidermy person, low maintenance, but there's a challenge, it's to say, run from your dogs and see which owner the dog loves the most. There'll be two owners, and this dog's sitting there going, yeah, what's up, and then the owners, usually a mom and a husband and wife will run different directions. The dog does this, and you get to find out who the dog really... What is that? It's a test. Is it a big test? It's something that the owners actually don't know. Can you? And so, but the best one out of all of it is this one. And so I'll see if I can get it to play. So, can you see that up there? Okay, so it's going to be blurred. But just watch this dog's... This dog's thinking... I guarantee you, if we could interview this dog after this test, what would you think? The dog goes, I almost died! My heart almost exploded! Can you imagine a little dog asked to choose? Ah, especially a good dog. And nevertheless, did a dog die? No. And what's going to happen is something wonderful is going to happen through the testing of this little... Looks like a Shih Tzu. Okay, let's take a look at this little Shih Tzu. Do I go to mom? Do I go to dad? Mom? Dad? He starts barking. He's barking. he can't pick! And he barks because he almost explodes! Oh my goodness! And then they eventually watch one more time.
And they're called to him.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, in this they were.
Okay.
Let them go.
Does this dog like what's happening to it?
No.
How much do you think the owners were blessed by this test result? And would anybody ever said that this would happen?
No.
You wouldn't expect it. It's going to pick one or the other. It's going to sit there. This dog, as I looked at that... Getting ready to do this teaching, what's communicated to me is that dog has an undivided heart. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Now, how many times Yahweh's looking at us, we'll look at the scriptures, and you're wondering what you're going to do, you're not going to do, and Yahweh's going, we're going to find things out. And he's watching. And the scriptures are going to suggest he doesn't know what's going to happen. in your heart. Somehow he can understand the long run. He can compensate, and we can't even fathom his understanding. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Yahweh doesn't necessarily know your heart. And if you understand this concept, when you start seeing the circles, the peaks and the valleys through the lives, this whole book, this covenant, is people's lives. They're tests. Did they pass? Did they fail? I actually, when I first prepared this teaching, I was so excited to give it. Everything came together, and I couldn't believe what I had seen. I was ready to deliver it, and guess what? Can't teach it. Yes, I can. And I got a red light. No. What's the point of getting all this work ready together to do a teaching and then not to teach it? Especially if I really want to. And I sat there, and do you know what the phrase went through my head? Aaron, this is a test. Ah! How are you going to respond to this?
Yeah.
How are you going to respond to dropping something on your foot? Somebody, you extending a hand to help somebody again that you didn't want to extend to help, and they burn you again. How are you going to respond? And so, somebody read chapter 8, verse 2, please.
So then thou shalt remember all the way in which Yahweh thy Elohim causes thee to journey these 40 years in the desert, that he might humble thee, to put thee to the proof, to know what was in thy heart.
What? Why?
To know what was in thy heart.
To find out what's in their heart. 40 years to humble them to do what? What's in your heart? Wait a minute. Does this give a whole other perspective to Yahweh? How much more would you appreciate David's and Moses when if Yahweh's watching, going to go, like that dog, what's Moses going to do? Yahweh, of course you know. Let's see. What? But you hold on. Now keep reading. Now keep reading.
Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not.
And verse 3. So he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Have you ever had something go dry? Or you run out of money or something? My dad would teach me, because we had good friends. He goes, you don't know good friends until you go through a hard time. Mom would say the same thing. You think you have best friends? Wait till you get in really big trouble. You'll see who comes by and sees you. Yeah. You're really, really good friends when you come into fellowship. And Yahweh will put people in. It's the same way with me. I thought I had really good friends until I got grounded. I got grounded, and after like 2 weeks in high school, these guys, they said, we'll take a bullet for you, man. We should get tattoos of each other's name. Like, yeah, yeah, I'm not getting a tattoo, but I like the concept. I got grounded. They never even came by to see me. And then they finally did come by to see me. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they're laughing about it. It was a test. But here it is. Yahweh let them grow hungry. Why? Suffer thee to hunger and feed thee with manna which thou hast not known. Why? Neither had thy fathers known. Why? That he might lead thee to consider that not on bread alone what the sons of earth shall the sons of earth live, but on whatsoever cometh out of the bidding of Yahweh. Now go down to verse 16. Let's see here. I think it's 16. The purpose of the 40 years. Would somebody read 16, please?
Who fed thee with manna in the desert, which thy fathers had not known, that he might humble thee, and that he might put thee to proof, to do thee good in thy hereafter.
Put you to the proof, but really it's the whole teaching, and this is not one scripture. This Hebrew word, and it could be used in different connotations depending on the roots and stuff. But I'm going to show you, it's everywhere in the scriptures. And people take it out of context. God's testing me again. No, he's not. You're sowing what you're reaping, you idiot. You can't be doing wicked things. You are reaping the curses of Deuteronomy 29 or 28. Now, your response is a test. You're being graded. How is she going to handle this?
What word, Aaron?
The Hebrew word back on verse 2 is to put thee to the proof. Hebrew word, Strong's number H5254, nashah. This word, to put you to the proof to know what was in thy heart. Now, it gives a whole other perspective on King David, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I used to think, he thought that King David, he just saw, here's a guy with a perfect heart. Yeah, he's going to be obedient. Now, when we look at this Hebrew word, and I was going to give you guys handouts because it's everywhere. It would appear, scriptures would suggest that Yahweh knew David's heart. Why? David had passed some tests.
Because of his actions.
Yeah, so there was a response. And Yahweh's watching. What did David do? Maybe he shut his mouth when he didn't have to. Maybe he obeyed and honored his mother and father when they didn't deserve it, but the law said to do it. Whatever it was, Yahweh's watching going, look at this. Look at this guy. The Hebrew word is nashah, and then here's, I'll show you, turn to Genesis chapter 22. The same word, chapter 22, verse 1. I did a teaching, and I recorded the teaching, and I sent it, just my communication. This is actually, I think, is before the teaching, to one of my best friends, David Remy, in Kenya. And I said, I just read Numbers 20, and it said that Yahweh led them to a place without water after 40 years. Why did he do that? Why would you do that? It's almost like a parent giving a canceled credit card or something to the kid. See how they handle it. I gave them an empty wallet. What are they going to do? His response was, and it was really David that got me started. He said, it's interesting you say that. He goes, this really bothers a lot of religious people because they like to say Yahweh knows everything. But David said, it appears that Yahweh doesn't know your heart. And it's those circumstances that actually he gets to see your heart. Made me think of a husband and a wife too. You have a really good idea, but every once in a while they're really going to come through on something. And you're going to go, wow, or vice versa. And one of the best examples of this is chapter 22, verse 1. Somebody read that for me.
It came to pass after these things that Yahweh did prove Abraham.
This is the same word, Hebrew, nashah. Or it could be a testing, a proving. Not poking something to see how it responds. Is Abraham the one? Is he going to have the seed with the Christ line? Is this the whole, whatever, and here this is, Yahweh's going to test Abraham. Abraham's going to have to ask his son to lay down his life in a hope of a resurrection. A son laying down his life for the hope of resurrection, the first resurrection in the Word. Isaac was the type of Christ. And one of the purposes we get to read this, Jesus Christ would have read this. How beautiful is that? But it's in verse 12. Would somebody read verse 12? So Abraham is getting ready to go through with killing his son. Hebrews explains, in a hope of a resurrection. He's a son. Christ is coming from him. He's going to fix everything. The curse of the ground is going to be reversed through this guy. I can't kill him. And that'd be the end. If Yahweh's asking me to put him to death, it's going to be a resurrection. So, are you ready, Isaac? I'm ready, Dad. Here we go. And it must have been going through the motion or something. I used to think that he's like reading his mind and his heart. But you start looking at the scriptures. I don't think so. I think he was getting ready to go through. Now, what happens here? Verse 12. Somebody read that?
I don't see it well enough.
Then he said, do not put forth thy hand unto the young man, neither do him anything at all, for now.
Now. That's the word.
Yeah.
Now. Now I know. Now I know. Now know I that one who reveres Elohim thou art. You're the one. When? When he passed the test. Your responses to obeying or whatever, everything is a test. Your life is a test. This life is an audition. And everybody gets a chance. How are they going to respond? And can you imagine Jesus Christ at the right hand of Yahweh watching all these tests? Unlikely heroes coming out. Holy moly. He says, man, Yahweh doesn't need abilities, but he needs a heart. But what is a heart? Sometimes you think it's a perfect, impure, flawless thing. No, not necessarily. It's how you respond to adversity or situation. Are you going to bail now? You ever thought about that with family members or good friends? Wow, I wonder if they'll call me back after that. Maybe it's a reproof. I've had that. You correct somebody and actually sometimes with good intentions I correct somebody. And I'm like, I think I went a little overboard. Well, that might be the end of that one. And then they come back. And you're like, wow, what is that? Acts chapter 15, you don't have to go there. And so I will give these things for reference once you want to write it down. In Acts chapter 15, verse 8, there's a Greek word, a very neat word. I believe it's used twice. And good old Rotherham, he'll tell you when there's a neat word. He'll put a hyphen between two words. There's a code. X marks the spot, and you have time to look this thing up. It's cardia gnoskis, the heart observing Elohim. And so he talks about it. They're casting lots, I believe, at this point, find out who's going to be the 12th. Who's the 12th? Is it Matthias? You are the heart observing Elohim. But here's this word, kenoskis. Cardia mean heart, kenoskis. But what does that actually mean? You know, you're the heart knowing God, but what is he? So I don't, it's above my pay grade because he can see the inside in future. But let me see here. If we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to look at another example of this word test. Because it says, let me turn there first. One of the commandments in Matthew 4:6, the adversary said, if thou art the son of Elohim, cast thyself down, for it is written, he hath given his angels charge of thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The adversary quoted Psalms 91. What was the response? Anybody know?
It is written.
Go ahead. It is written, I meant, that should not what?
And
actually, Rothschild will say, put the test. I should not put the test, Yahweh, that Elohim. Do you know what that word is? No, it's the same Hebrew word, Nishah. You're commanded, don't. You don't do this to Yahweh, is he going to do this? Do kids do that? If you don't let me do this, I'm going to. They go in the room going, I wonder if they're going to cave. Right? You're testing, are they going to do it? You don't do that with Yahweh. There's a neat thing with this word, because are there exceptions to the rules? It's not. Is it easy to paint Yahweh in a box?
No.
Because this word, you're not to put him to the test. When Gideon needs to put a fleece out, do you know what he does? Forgive me. Because do you know what he's going to do to Yahweh? This word of Yahweh. I need to know if this is it. So it gives a whole other understanding why he's asking Yahweh for forgiveness, because it looks like he might be possibly breaking, but his heart is right going, Yahweh, it's not about me, I'm not testing you, I just need to know if 50,000 people are going to die. And in that thing, Yahweh honored it. Do you know what this word also is? When the Queen of Sheba wants to find out, is this king really a representative of Elohim? Who did she go see?
Solomon.
Solomon. And what did Solomon have? Solomon was just a conduit of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Does this guy really have the wisdom of the Creator? And she came to put him to the test. And what happened? She came back, and Yahweh records it. So what happens there? Her heart must have been right. Maybe not malicious. Because Yahweh, not Solomon, is Yahweh's wisdom. Yahweh doesn't do parlor tricks.
Yeah.
Because remember, Herod wanted to put Jesus Christ to the test. He rejoiced to see Jesus Christ when they brought him. Why? Hey, jump over this thing. Do a trick. Yeah, before they kill you. Hey, do something. You wanted to see a test. Yahweh doesn't do that. But it's the same Hebrew word. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Let me get here. I thought I'd turn there. Let me get there.
304.
Thank you. First Samuel. Oh, three. Okay, thank you. I think I was there. I just get so excited. And I can't focus.
16:7, is that what you said?
Let me see here. Well, we already went there. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh upon the heart. So what was David doing while he was that shepherd boy? It's a whole other story now. Now here's, and then if you start reading on your own time, if you read this with Yahweh putting things to the test, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Because there's a lot of different things. Because if you keep reading here, verse chapter 17, for 40 days. What's interesting, before this, I'm just going to back up for a second. This used to kind of irritate me because Samuel was supposed to go to King Saul. And Samuel delayed. Now everybody's leaving before a war. And what did Saul do? He offered a sacrifice. And I think it's Edersheim or somebody says he believed he showed up at the very absolute last second. So Samuel was there. But what was that? What did Saul do? Was he obedient? No. He wasn't like Gideon. If you guys leave, leave. But he failed that test. But we're going to give some credit to Saul here because he waited 40 days. Two hilltops. And who is he waiting for? Who are they waiting for? They're waiting for Yahweh. They're not taking things in their own hands here. They're waiting, waiting. What are we going to do? And who shows up? David shows up. And this is not the same Hebrew word. But when David, in verse 39...
What chapter?
17, verse 39. It's not the same Hebrew word. But when they put the sword and the military coat of King Saul on David... Will somebody read that for me?
And David girded his sword about his military coat, but was reluctant to go, for he had not proved them.
He had not proved them. You've never used something, you don't know how reliable it is. David had been proven to Yahweh. But here with this, it had not been tested. You don't go into battle with them. There's a movie on that, A Ghost in the Darkness. What was his name? Val Kilmer goes hunting, and the guy goes, here, use my gun, it's a more expensive gun. He almost dies, the lions almost kill him, and he gets corrected by, I forgot the famous Winchester guy or whatever, I forgot his name, for the Civil War. Anyway, you went into battle with an untested weapon? This one guy is coming from the Civil War, the American. The Irishman went into battle with an untested weapon. How many times is Yahweh waiting for people to be tested? I need people to be tested here. And we keep reading here, David wins this. He takes the head to King David, or the Saul. And we're going to read another test. In verse 7, now, this isn't necessarily Yahweh testing, but life and circumstances are testing. You get to see how people respond to it. Because in verse 7, David starts becoming famous, and the women, chapter 18, verse 7, and the women that made merry responded to each other in song and said, Saul, or Shaul, had smitten his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. How does he respond?
Not well.
Not well. That was a test. And it doesn't necessarily... Did Yahweh put the song in there? We don't know. Was this Yahweh doing it? We don't know. But how did Saul... Then Saul... Was Saul exceedingly angry? And then was he saying with offense in his eyes? And then if you go down to verse 11, Saul hurled a spear and said to himself, I will smite David to the wall. Yahweh saying... Yahweh's observing this, and what is he seeing in King Saul? He's tested bad. He's gone really, really, really bad. And you know what this reminds me of, King David and Saul? King Saul is the Republican establishment, and Donald Trump's David. The Republican swamp hates David, or King Trump. They're not going to get behind him. No! Here this thing is, and I'm convinced that the Republican swamp, if Jesus Christ, they wouldn't do it either. We will do it. And here's this whole thing. But here's David and Saul. Here's some examples. Exodus chapter 15, 25. And this is in the King James. I didn't have time to put it in the Rotherham. But I'm just going to give you a glimpse of usages. And he cried unto Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he tested them. What are you going to do? David contacted me today. He said he just received an eviction notice for his church. They got to be out 3 months. And I said, I don't know where this is coming from, but you've been tested. How are we going to respond? And as I was thinking about David, if you keep reading, Saul wants David to marry his daughter. David goes, I'm broke. I can't give a dowry for a king's daughter. So all I want is 100 foreskins of the... Not in on collecting the booty. All I want is 100 foreskins of my enemies, these Philistines. David went, can David kill 100 people? Not necessarily. But with Yahweh? Mm-hmm. What was really happening as I was reading this? This, I imagine David going, 100 foreskins? 200, he ends up getting 200, but I wonder if he went, this is not a burden on me. This is a burden on Yahweh. Can Yahweh do this? Yeah. Are we supposed to kill these guys? Absolutely. This is, can Yahweh do this? Absolutely. Then the weight's not on me. Who's with me? You can imagine getting people, I'm the guy, we're going to make a lot of money, guys. Go get all those guys from the Amway tent. Come on, come over here. I'll make it really rich. He comes back with 200 foreskins, but David was put to the test. What are you going to do with this? And here it was, pow, pow, pow. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Elohim has come to test or prove thee. It's the same Hebrew word, Neshah. That his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. He's trying to scare the snot out of them. Hey! You don't want me angry. I'm a really nice dad. But here's volcanoes and thunders and lightnings. Why? I don't want you to sin. Here's test. Deuteronomy 8:16, we read that. Deuteronomy 13, verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet, the dreamer, or the dreams. For Yahweh your Elohim proveth, same word, or test you, to know whether you love Yahweh. He wants to know if you love him. Well, I love you. It's today, man. What are you going to do today? Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be disciplined? And he's wondering, he's going to go, she loves me! She walked 5 miles today in the cold! She prayed! Oh my goodness! And my mom, well, I was complaining. He's worried about results. And remember, Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He's filling out resumes. We can use this person at this next position. Can you imagine Christ being able to see the actual positions at the new heaven, new earth? He's going, holy cow, we have a lot of defective people here. I mean, we don't need that many window washers in the next... We need some good stewards, but you produce it. You produce... Because, think about that. Yahweh wanting to know, does he really love me? I'm not married, but can you imagine what you and Dad go, I wonder if he's going to get something nice for this anniversary. I wonder if he's really going to do it. Or Mom doing the same thing. Maybe Mom goes, I'm not going to spend some money. Here's some money. Look what I did. Wow, you saved me $50. Thanks, honey. whatever your love is. Psalm 66, verse 10. For you have tried us. This isn't necessarily the same word, but it's a concept. For you have tried us, O Elohim. You have refined us as silver refined. Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold. But Yahweh tests the heart. Mm. Not just what you did. What are you doing now? Every day. That's the purpose. Let's see. I think I read all those. Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But just as we have been approved by Yahweh to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but Yahweh who examines our heart. And so if you turn to Judges chapter 2, you know, somebody would read, actually, it's Judges chapter 2, verse 22. Yeah, somebody would read that for me.
Number one.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
That I may by them put Israel to the proof.
Why? Sorry.
Whether they are going to be observant of the way of Yahweh to walk therein as their fathers observed it or not.
He wants to know if he's going to put them to the test. This is a Hebrew word. Why? Let's see if they're going to obey or not. You know, here's parents giving a little bit more reins. And in my life, you know, some of my biggest tests was success. Can he handle success? Most people can't. And I didn't initially. As soon as I got successful initially with my business, look at me. And I started failing. Other times in my life, there's other tests. Two of the biggest tests that I got to pass as I was looking at it, considering this, going, what? There are two, and all of you, I would encourage you to reflect on a big test that you passed. You wonder if you're going to waver. This is going to be a tough one. But I had two. And I thought about these two tests that I was at a crossroad. And if you want to keep somebody in your life, you're going to have to bend your knee to their knees. But I did. I stayed faithful to Yahweh, although I didn't think I could do it. I basically fell down. I looked like a dog. As I fell down in my own, feeling like being crushed and broken, Yahweh was probably looking at me like that dog going, look at this guy, he didn't cave! Aaron, you're really not a coward! I like that word. What, you just proved you weren't. And the only reason I didn't fail in that one, as I reflected back, is because I had been in the Word. And I actually, one of the biggest things I ever had to turn my back on Yahweh, like Adam did with Eve, turn to Yahweh, was because I was studying the Word, and I thought I was going to have to do a teaching. I was so excited about doing the teaching about people committing adultery on Yahweh to keep people in their life. And then all of a sudden, I was that guy. The whole teaching was for me. And actually, I was about ready to do what I always mock other people. You rather have people, you know, Samuel or Eli, love your children more than Yahweh, whatever. And here I was getting ready to do it, and Yahweh goes, Aaron, are you going to do what Samson did with Delilah? Aaron, are you going to do what David did with Bathsheba? Aaron, are you going to do what Solomon did with the foreign women? Aaron, you said Eve was completely deceived, but Adam knew what he was doing. And Aaron, you said, because I was getting ready to do a teaching, I was getting ready to share it to people, you said that Adam committed adultery on Yahweh to keep his wife. And I sat there and I went, okay. And after that I go, now I can't do it. I passed that test. And so how are you going to pass the biggest test in your life? Man, you'll make yourself so much easier, life so much easier if you stay in fellowship with them and you exercise discipline, discipline, discipline. We should always be working to do teachings, preparing things. Study the Word to do teachings. If you're not, have teachings ready to go. And Yahweh will start giving teachings for you. And then all of a sudden, you're the one getting ready to go to jail. Hey, this is just like that teaching you're going to give your friend. What teaching? Oh, here my handcuffs on. There you are. Like, that teaching. He prepared you. If you read down that chapter, that was 2:22, Yahweh putting his children to the proof, to see if they observed. Chapter 3, now these are the nations which Yahweh left. Why did he leave these people? That he might, would somebody read that for me?
Now these are the nations which Yahweh left, that he might by them put Israel to the proof, all who had not known any of the wars of Canaan.
Okay, and then you go to verse 4, there's going to be another same word.
So then these were left, that by them he might put Israel to the proof, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh.
Did you ever think that some of the Democrats and the voter fraud in the United States could be Yahweh letting us get put to the proof? I'm not going to say that literally, but if you start reading about the Malachites and the Midianites, you're like, holy cow, look what they're doing. Are we okay? Are we being obedient here? Absolutely. But how many Christians are not in the Word and they're not doing it? They're not even calling out the Democrat Party. Here they are, they're living amongst it, but I'm like, but he was putting them to the proof, testing them. Turn to Psalms 26. We've got two more verses. The tumor. Let's be looking at King David, just a heart. And here's Yahweh looking at David's life, a guy that ups and downs and over, I think that he would look at it like some of his teaching. This is a test. What are you going to do now? My father-in-law is going to kill me. Michael's back. The woman that here's 200 foreskins. She's back there. I'm in a cave or something. What are you going to do? Are you going to cave, David? And I can imagine him going, this is a test. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to Samuel. He goes to Samuel. You can imagine his life. All of a sudden, you're in a cave of Adullam again. What in the world's going on here? I didn't ask to be king. What are you going to do? If this is a test, how are you going to respond? How am I going to respond? It's somebody who read Psalms 26. And we're going to pause on verse 2, then we're going to continue to read this one psalm. Okay?
Do me justice, O Yahweh, for I in my blamelessness have walked, and in Yahweh have I trusted, I will not waver. Try me, O Yahweh, and prove me. Test my reins and my heart.
Test my reins and my heart. Why? It's just a different perspective. How many wimp, sissy, cowardly Christians, don't test me! No! Pop quiz! Don't ask me if I've ever read the whole book. Don't ask me if I know all the books of the Bible. Don't ask me any of that. So they're afraid. And here is another heart going, yeah, give me another test so that I can prove myself to you. The Young's Literal says, purified are my reins and my heart. Test the reins of my heart. Purify me. Give me another test. Why? Because with David, if you look at this, what happened? We get to read his life. What happened with these tests? Beautiful testimonies. Offerings of obedience. A fragrance, a sweet smell to Yahweh. And I believe the Apostle Paul is able to say those things, right? You can be a fragrance or you can be a stench. And there's a lot of Christians that stink. They stink like poop. There's their whole life. They cave. They do whatever it is. There was another one that was on here. It was really neat. I wanted to... That was Andrew Womack. He says, some of you just smell like poop. And you know, poop attracts flies. And those are your demons. You got all kinds of crap in your life. He didn't say crap. Because that's your life and you're blaming Yahweh for it. No, it's you and your life. And that's, you want to change? And I'm like, but he's right. You ever met somebody that's always, oh, I'm such a victim. I'm a victim. I'm a victim. Your life is poop because you choose to live in poop. But there's another scripture. I don't know if I can find it. Oh, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18. I said to myself concerning the sons of men, Elohim shall surely test them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. And you are being tested each day to see, are you a son of Elohim or are you a beast? But Dad did a teaching on that. Man was created on the sixth day, so is the beast. Your whole life is to see how you're going to respond. Are you going to be an animal? Immediate gratification? Nobody's going to know what's going to happen? Or are you going to respond like man? Most people, denialists, they're beasts. They want to be a beast. They don't want another life. And you go, okay, you're going to have two deaths, though. But that's fine. They're choosing it. But here this is, and that could also be our responses. Romans 6. Are you going to, your test, are you going to be a beast? Or are you going to be tested to be a son of Elohim? And I'll go back to verse 3 in chapter 26. But I'll go to verse 2. Actually, somebody else will read that for me. Helps. Verse 2 through 12.
Try me, O Yahweh, and prove me. Test my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness, has said, hath been before mine eyes, and I have walked to and fro in thy faithfulness. I have not sat with men of deceit, nor with dissemblers would I enter. I have had hatred and hated and convocated kingship of evildoers, and with the lawless men would I not sit. I will bathe in pureness my hands, so will I go in procession around thine altar, O Yahweh, to sound aloud a song, and to recount all thy wonderful doings, O Yahweh, have loved the asylum of thy house, even the place of the habitation of thy glory. Do not remove with sinners my soul, nor with men of bloodshed my life, in whose hands is a plot, and the right hand is filled with a bribe. But I in my blamelessness will walk. Redeem me and shew me favor. My foot standeth in level place. In the convocations will I bless Yahweh.
You know, we love stories about a man proving his love or his adoration for a woman. He's climbing fences or whatever. And it's neat because he's proving something. But what David had is he did that for Yahweh. And if you can do that with a relationship too. If you get into a relationship where both of you are doing this with Yahweh, I want to climb over a balcony for Yahweh at the end of the day. How did I do? How did I do today? I failed, but I got back up. And if a husband and wife are both doing that, oh my goodness, because Yahweh's in it. You get done today, did you wash my feet today? No, but I got Yahweh's and Yahushua's feet, and then I did this. Good job! All right! And that's it. But here's David. And I think about how many times David, you read some of the Psalms. It's not just David. Yahweh's speaking through David. Remember that. And so Yahweh will minister to me through songs. I'll be playing a song. I'm not a gifted musician. And especially if I'm ad-libbing, I'm even worse. I'll be playing songs and all of a sudden words come out. Like songs like David. And one of the ones that was so beautiful, the other night I was sitting in my newly decorated dining room, so thankful. And look, I can't wait for Yahweh to come by like he did with Abraham. Hey, come over here, I got a room I just did. What do you think? Because he did go to Abraham for dinner. As I was doing that, I started singing a song, and words were coming out. And the words came out, it said, 44 times around the sun I have been, and I'm just getting to know you. I have not had enough time yet to get to know who you are. You think about how many people, and these words are coming out, and those weren't the exact words, but it was, I haven't even got to know you yet. And we see that with some people, that they come to the brink of death. They go, I want to live! I want to live! But Yahweh spoke to me and gave me a glimpse of, I want to be 120. I want one more time around that sun with you. I want one more adventure with you. I want one more chance to prove my love for you. I want one more chance to give back to what you gave me. I want one more chance to be like a little dog who almost blew a fuse. Can you imagine if our messengers, they were watching, messengers, angels were watching Gideon. They said, mighty man of valor! He was like, whoa, wrong address, man! There's something they knew that he didn't necessarily know. They were watching. And if we got to interview that dog, you are the most famous dog on the planet. Everybody's like, oh my God, you don't know what I went through. But look how we just fed off that test. And you can do the same thing with your tests. And even if people aren't watching you, Yahweh is. How are you going to respond to this? Are you going to keep your mouth shut, Aaron? Are you going to respond? How are you going to respond to your test? And then you close in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, we don't have to go there just for time's sake, but it says everything is going to go through a fire. Everything you've done is going to be going through a refiner's fire. Some things are going to be burnt up. All the things you did for yourself or whatever, you know, whatever it is, your Academy Awards. But the things you did for him, and it's not just the things you did for him, the things he told you to do, and you were obedient with and a good steward with, you'll get to keep. But it says you're going to suffer loss. Mm-hmm. Why? Your whole life is a test. It's a chance to work your way up from the mailroom to the penthouses. And how will you respond? It could be a masterpiece that each day, just consider. Do you ever think that Yahweh doesn't necessarily know your heart? And he looks at you eagerly each day going, I wonder if she loves me. Mm-hmm. And then when we respond in obedience, he goes, she loves me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit that is inside us, that we can hear from you. And for helping us being refined like the potter, refining the pot. We thank you for working through us and helping us get rid of impurities and helping us with our thinking. Because we know that our flesh, every act of obedience, our flesh is going to be acting like we're losing and we're losing and we're losing and we're giving up so much. Oh, we're giving up so much. But that is stinking thinking. That's death. We're gaining. We're becoming more holy. And nothing can be lost that you can't restore 100-fold. Father, King David lost Michal, a woman that would later on mock him. And he ended up getting Abigail, a woman who prophesied and said she would wash his servant's feet. Father, we thank you that there's nothing that we have to go through or that we will have to give up that you won't restore, like with a king's bounty. And we thank you for these words. Do not be distracted, but understand that my benevolence, my abundance, my bounty is incredible. And what I look for are people worthy to receive things. And I want you to receive things more than you could ever even imagine. But I have to have your hands out, and you have to show me that you are strong enough to carry the gold and the jewels that I desire to place in the palms of your hand. Amen.
Amen.